Almighty God, we thank you for the faithful contributing to your ministry for this church. God, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wait. So what I'm going to do is, hopefully, Chuck, this doesn't mess you up too much. I'm gonna bring this podium and come closer, because there's not many of us this morning. Now, I do want to note, where I'm from, we went to church during tropical storms. So it's okay. But thank you for everyone joining us online. No hard feelings. So today, we are talking about the Spirit screaming. The Spirit screaming. And that is taken from the 26th verse of our gospel text. And it says, "And that the evil spirit screamed, and it threw the man into convulsion, and then it came out of him." So who remembers what we talked about last week? Buddy? Good question. Nobody was paying attention? All right. We talked about vomit, right? Choose our vomit. We talked about Jonah and how in life we either have to choose to follow God, or we can be like Jonah and the whale, where he swallows us up and vomits us out somewhere, right? God is going to get his way one way or the other. Why? Because he's God and we're not. He's God and we're not. So today we get to talk about the demonic, possession, exorcisms. Does any of these names sound familiar? Anybody watch the exorcism movie? No? Am I the only? Okay, there's two of us. Look, we're not sinners. Look, there's a few of us that have watched it. There's different movies that have come over the years. Some of them are based in fantasy. Some are based in reality. But we really have three points we're going to go over. That we make the Spirit scream by three ways. By teaching, by rebuking, and by having authority. By teaching, rebuking, and having authority. So in our modernization of the church, Christian leaders, in an attempt to liberalize Christianity, we have taken away discussion of the demonic, of the dark forces of the world. And in fact, we are often frowned upon and we are looked down on as pastors by other people, other clergymen and women. Often we are looked at as crazy. And the last thing that anybody wants to do is look crazy, right? I mean, it's bad enough that the outside world thinks that the church is filled with hypocrites. But now I'm crazy because I believe in the demonic. You know, again, we grew up in an area where I could drive 5 miles up the road and have a ghost tour. Anybody been on a ghost tour? Yeah, good. There's a couple of us again. Look, ghost. No, you guys haven't been on a ghost tour? Okay. So I graduated from Destrehan High School, and there is a plantation called the Destrehan Plantation, less than 5 minutes from there, right down the river. And Destrehan, if you don't know French, means the Trahans, right? The Trahan family. The Destrehan Plantation, and it was known as a place of hauntings, spirits. And then Amanda and I, for a short period, right before we got married, she was living with a church member, and then I had my own house. And it was about 3 hours north. We moved to St. Francisville, Louisiana. St. Francis Plantation is known as the number one haunted plantation, the Myrtles, number one haunted plantation in the United States. Okay? There are videos they actually posted on their Facebook page yesterday of some hauntings that they experienced. Now, again, maybe I'm just crazy. But the fact is, since being in ministry, I have had the great honor of combating evil in my ministry. Because evil is real. And we're going to talk, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when the Lord is at work, the devil presents himself, right? And to quote Albert Einstein, the famous scientist, just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean it isn't true. Just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean it isn't true. So there's 11 times throughout the Bible that Jesus took the demonic and Satan seriously. I'm going to read some of those to you. And I hope that some of them ring a bell for you. So Jesus was tempted by who in the desert? Satan. So there's one. Unless Jesus was hallucinating, right? Which I don't believe. We have today's text of the demon in the synagogue. We have my favorite story in Scripture of the demonic, and that is the possessed swine. Does anybody remember those? Jesus casted out a legion of demons into the pigs, and then the pigs committed suicide over the mountaintop. Now that poor farmer, right, lost all of his pigs that day. The time he drove the demon out of a person who was mute. The time he rebuked demons in Luke 4. The time the disciples were unable to cast out a demon. The Greek woman's daughter, perhaps Mary Magdalene herself. The time Jesus warned us about Satan. When Jesus gave his disciples the authority to cast out demons in Matthew 10:1, which we will read later. And lastly, when Jesus predicts exorcisms in Mark 16:17. So, brothers and sisters, we have to accept the entire Word of God, not just pick and choose pieces that we like or dislike. And in fact, Jesus, at least 11 times, talks about Satan, talks about demon possession. And my hope is not to get on a soapbox about the demonic, about demon possession, because I know you've heard me a few times mention it here and there throughout my sermons. There's a reason for that. Because in Ephesians 6:12, it tells us this: for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, I'll tell you exactly what the progressive agenda in Christianity has taught us is that they are attempting to say, well, you know, we know more than they knew then, right? Science has improved. People have mental illnesses. Okay, I get all that. But we're talking about the authority of Jesus. If Jesus says something is true, it's true. We like it or not. So this morning, we are going to learn these three ways to make the evil spirit scream. Making evil spirits scream this morning and convulse. And it literally says he convulsed on the floor. So last week we had vomit. This week we have somebody laying on the floor convulsing from an evil spirit leaving their body. Right? Those are two images I hope you guys retain in your mind for the next several weeks, okay? So the first one is we're going to teach, all right? The first way is teaching. So if you missed, we had my friend Corey and I, that's the other pastor, on Monday. We had In the Word with a Wesleyan and a Lutheran, and we started talking about this scripture together, and that might kind of be what we're going to do. I'm actually going to preach, and he's going to preach the same text every week. We're going to compare notes and do some study together because that's a good thing. But here is our 21st verse through 24. It says, Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum, and when the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue to teach. Now, let's point out the obvious. Why was Jesus going to the synagogue to teach? Well, that's what you do as a rabbi, right? Just like I come to the church on Sunday morning to preach. Same type of deal. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority. And notice here the stab from Mark. Quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, Why are you interfering with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So the first point is that Jesus is teaching, like any good rabbi would do. The second point of this, of these verses, is that people were amazed at his teaching because he had real authority, unlike the religious law teachers. Now, why do you think he had real authority? Why do you think it was different? Why do you think people were amazed at his authority? He was speaking from his Father. Anybody else? Goes that direction. The authority came from the relationship that he had with the Father. That he genuinely knew his Father. Because Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with God, right? It isn't just about getting the check marks off the list. Okay, I've confessed my sins. I've been to church 3 times this month. I've tithed 10%. Okay, I'm good. That would be so easy, right? That's not what Christianity is about. It's about a relationship with God. And that's what Jesus had. And that's what amazed the people that were there. That in fact, this man had a different type of authority. Again, any of us could know the Bible without being a Christian. There are atheist Bible scholars that know the Word of God. There are Jewish rabbis that I personally am friends with. I was astonished by their knowledge of Paul and the New Testament because they don't believe in the New Testament the way we do. But they knew it, right? They had the head knowledge. You guys know who Billy Sunday is? Steve knows. Who was he, Steve? Do you know what he did before that? Yes, Major League Baseball player. And the only reason I know anything about this guy was when my grandma Jo passed away, they had all these old books. And I started going through the books and getting any one that was kind of a religious book that I can get my hands on. So there was a Billy Sunday book from like, I don't know, the 50s. Looks perfect. It's in my office now. So, he was a Major League Baseball player, turned evangelist, pre-Billy Graham era. And he said this, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Familiar, right? Ricky Lee's laughing back there, right? Going to church doesn't make you any more Christian than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Okay, so we're in church. We have a relationship. We hopefully have a relationship with Jesus. That's the primary. Because as we know, in this era that we live in, this COVID era, that church is not a building. Absolutely. I mean, we've been saying it for years. I remember going through Bible college and seminary and going to these classes called like the missional church and how to do church differently. And overnight, we have been all forced to do church differently. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So we at First Lutheran need to have that type of authority. We need to be able to teach our children a different type of religion than just the religious teachers of the law, as we discussed, as Jesus discussed in this text this morning. That we need to have a firsthand knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, our next point out of this, these first few verses, it says, suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, why are you interfering with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, I've always been told growing up, if I'm a Christian, that I would be protected from evil. That the devil cannot touch the church. But when I started reading through this text, which, by the way, I feel really bad for our Sunday school teachers, I'm preaching the same text that our kids are learning in Sunday school. So I'd be interested to see what they learned this morning. So Satan A possessed man went into the Holy of Holies, the synagogue, while Jesus, God, was teaching there. So as a pastor, I have to accept the fact that Satan, a possessed person, can come to church. That a possessed person could call out good things, right? That when we start doing good things, Satan himself is going to ask us these same questions. Why are you interfering with us? Why are you combating me? Why are you trying to make me scream? Because that's the goal this morning, is to make evil scream. Okay? We're going to be asked and confronted by Satan in these same questions here. And I can tell you, anytime in parish ministry, any place I've ever served, as soon as the Holy Spirit shows up and is working and good things are happening, Satan is at the door to knock us down. And we have to do whatever we have to do to cast Satan out. We got to kick him out. So our goal is, right, is to kick Satan's butt and take names for the kingdom of God. That's our goal. Right? We have to have, that's our vision at its very core, is to disciple people into little disciples of Jesus. We have to destroy Satan, and we first make him scream by teaching the people of God the word of God. Second is, we have to rebuke evil. We have to rebuke Satan. And I'll tell you what, for me, this is a scary sermon to preach, because that means Satan is listening. We're talking about him, right? We're talking about evil. We're rebuking him as Jesus did. Now notice, Jesus always rebukes evil. See, it says here in verse 25, but Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. All right, so let's take that verse. He tells him to be quiet. And what's the next thing he does? He orders him. He gives him a command. Come out of this man. At that, the evil spirit screamed and threw the man into convulsion and then came out of him. Now, I could have you raise your hands if you've ever seen an exorcism. But I don't think anybody here has ever seen an exorcism, right? A real, legitimate exorcism. Now, I can tell you again, the seminary that I went to, at one point, there was an exorcism performed at a chapel service with preachers in the room. Nothing but preachers in the room. So what does that tell you? None of us are exempt. None of us are exempt from the use of Satan and evil in this world. So I want us to go to another part of the scripture, Matthew 16:23. Right? And this should be a familiar passage for you this morning. And Jesus turned to Peter, his friend, his disciple. "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God." Again, this is Peter. This is someone that walked alongside Jesus. But notice the tone here. Isn't it any different from this unknown man in the synagogue to Peter, his best friend? No. Jesus talks to him the same way. He commands the evil spirit to get away, to leave. Right? To be quiet. He rebukes him. We have to do the same. We have to call out Satan and his work in the world. And I think I mentioned it maybe 2 weeks ago. The way the church often handles evil is to say nothing at all. Right? So I mentioned to you the Holocaust. The worst time in history, right? And you can go back to slavery and all these horrible things, that the church just decided to just be silent and say nothing at all and allowed it to happen. Now, eventually we got involved and things like that. But most of the time, the thought process is, well, it's not affecting me, so I don't need to worry about it. It's not affecting me. It's over there in Europe. And then what happened? It came knocking on our front door, right? Japanese bombed us. The Holocaust continued. And over in Germany, you could still go to the concentration camps. And I hurt that the Christian church didn't step up sooner. To step up to pure evil in the world. I'm really grateful, at least, for our men and women that served our country to combat evil. But they did it from really a political side, right? The government had to get involved. I just wish the church would have done something. We had to rebuke strongholds in our midst, evil in our midst, that so we can move forward, right? We can move forward for God and his vision and mission for not just our church, but the Christian movement as a whole. I think Satan does have a stronghold. I was talking to an NALC mission dean. He's no longer a dean. He's moved to another church. But he called me the other day, and we started talking about COVID. And what he shared with me is he's not talking about COVID at all in his church anymore. Because he said the whole world is hopeless right now. The whole world. He said the thing that the church needs to do is provide hope. Hope. Hope in Jesus crucified, hope in his resurrection, hope in his authority, the authority over our lives. Want to keep sure I didn't skip it. Which brings us to our next point, having authority. Verse 27, 28, amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders. And the news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. So the last thing is we make the spirit scream through our authority. See, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Mark 6, 7, and Luke chapter 9, verse 1, so see, all the Gospels thought this was important to add. It's important for us to know. It says, Jesus called his disciples to get 12 disciples together and gave them the authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Three of the Gospels mention this authority, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I don't know what happened to John. But three of the Gospels say you have the authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Now, if we want a real church campaign to bring people into the church, start casting out demons and healing sick people, right? People would be flocking for miles in the snow and in hurricanes come to church. To see what in the world is going on at First Lutheran. Because see, we speak with a different type of authority. Genuinely, right? In the world, what is authority? Authority is usually a position of power, like the President of the United States of America. Most powerful governmental leader in the world, right? It's maybe a job title. You know, you're an overseer of different people underneath you. I've been in those type of positions, right? You have the ability to hire and fire people and give raises. But that's not the authority that Jesus is talking about, right? It's not a worldly authority. In fact, it's that authority that, again, I just mentioned from Ephesians, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but evil forces. And then Jesus turns around and says, okay, so again, that's Paul telling us that's our fight And then Jesus tells us in three of the Gospels that we have the authority to fight it and the ability to do it, right? That we have this unique ability to cast out evil in the world. And I imagine that maybe some of you this morning might think I'm absolutely crazy, that I've lost my mind. And now I talked about vomit 1 week, and now I'm talking about demons, right? But the truth is, it's in the gospel. It's in our text. It's in the scripture that we have to clean house. There's too much evil that has been allowed in the Christian church globally to control us, to modernize with the world and the way the world is going. And what does Paul tell us there? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, right? But have your mind and your heart and your soul be transformed. We have to be different. We have to step up. So, as part of that, I'm suggesting in our threefold vision of faith, family, future, that we speak with a different type of authority. Authority that comes from only knowing Jesus well and being discipled. Knowing Jesus well and being discipled. You know what that means? Commitment. Find a small group. Find a Bible study to be a part of. I know, I believe Sarah Paul is doing one on Zoom right now. I know there's other studies going on in the life of the church. Study the Word. I know Mary Morris's Sunday school group, whatever group that is, they're going to be studying the same scripture that we're studying on Sundays in the sermon, like the kids are upstairs. Get involved. We have an authority to heal the sick, the brokenhearted, the lame, the demon-possessed. Okay? Yeah, and there's some broken people. We have broken people in our churches. Sometimes the most broken are fellow believers. Fellow believers. Because you know why? The church is often the only place that shoots its own wounded. You guys know that? You're wounded, and then they shoot you right on the spot. We have to take care of one another, right? We got to love each other. We're a family. And families are families no matter what. Let us be there for each other. An authority that leaves people amazed, that makes people go and tell everyone. What did it say in the last part of that scripture? It says they were amazed. This is why I put page numbers on my stuff. It says, amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even the evil spirits obey his orders. And the news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. Could you imagine if this congregation was so filled with unity in the body of Christ and authority from Jesus that the whole world, the whole Dundalk area knew our church because of how our people responded to each other and the world in amazement. An authority that changes the very fabric of this messed up place called Earth, right? That we believe that we have so much authority by God because we pray it in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. It's our right by God to change this place that we live in, to make it a better place. An authority that truly gives hope to the hopeless. So, I charge you, take thou authority and change the world. Praise be to God. Amen.